Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
To the hopeless heart, Father. Speak now, Father. That we will know, Lord, that we didn't hear from a preacher, but that we've heard from God. Father, help us to listen, which means, Lord, that we don't just hear the word, but we live it out. We do it, Father. So, Father, open not only our ears, but give us a heart to obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Amen. This is our new theme for this year as we enter to this new sermon series that's entitled, How to Listen to God. This month, we're going to have the month study the discipline of meditation, and our theme verse is Joshua 1 and 8. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And again, this morning we're going to share a message entitled, How to Meditate for Success. How to Meditate for Success. Joshua 1 and 8, which you stand in reverence to the Word of God, stand symbolically saying that in 2010, I'm going to stand on the Word. Amen, and praise the Lord. On three. One, two, three.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
You may be seated in the household of the Lord. Today, if you want to be a success, God is It's going to show you the way. It's going to be an interesting way, because most books that are entitled How to Be a Success have nothing to do with the Word of God. But God's success has everything to do with the Word of God. So how to meditate for success this morning. We're going to walk or talk on or around three different points. We want you to meditate with your mouth. We want you to meditate with your memory. And we want you to meditate with your mind. Mind in the sense that I will mind. Mind in the sense that you want your children to mind. Amen. And Christians should meditate on the Word of God. Christians should meditate on the Word of God. Say to your neighbor, I will meditate on the Word of God. And again, We're using Foster's definition of meditation, which means Christian meditation. Very simply, it's the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. To hear God's voice and obey His word. As I was studying for this really year-long series, I realized that I have taught some people wrong. Not that I've taught you wrong by what I have said, but I have taught you wrong by what I have not said. Now, I've preached, if you probably list my sermons, the subject that I preach about the most is probably prayer. It's probably prayer. And we define prayer as talking to God. But I don't know that I've ever done a message on meditation.
All right.
And meditation is listening to God.
Yes, sir. All right.
It's listening to God. And as I was looking at TV this morning, Dr. Stanley shared on his program that it is a horrible relationship. If you're in a relationship and only one person is doing all of the talking.
Yeah, all right. Amen.
It's a horrible relationship if there is no communication that is going on when it's just one person doing all of the talking. And we, in our Christian relationship, many of us are not able to live it out because we're doing all of the talking. And we never take time to listen or to meditate on the Word of God to hear what God is saying to us. And that's why we're in this series now on how to listen to God. If you were at the service for the New Year service, we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 through 3 that Paul was concerned that the church was being misled by the cunning of the devil. That they were being misled. And as I was preparing this series, I thought that I will never listen to the devil, even if he's telling the truth. Don't you know the devil can tell you the truth? You listening to him? Oh, look at her this morning. She thinks she's something. That's the truth. Why are you listening to him? This is worship time. Oh, he'll be telling. Oh, look at that preacher this morning and telling you the truth.
All right.
About him. So I've decided this year that I'm not going to even listen to the devil, even when he's telling the truth.
All right. All right.
And that garden of temptation, Jesus had a conversation with him, and he was quoting the word.
Right. Right.
He knows the word. Don't he know the word? Probably better than you do. Hello? And he can tell you the truth.
Come on.
Ooh, that's deep in there. So you have to learn to discern what actually the true truth is. The true truth of this morning's service is that we have come to worship the Lord regardless of what other folk are doing, regardless of what they said. We're not supposed to be listening to them or focusing on them. We're supposed to be focusing on the Lord. Focusing on the Lord. Because that's how the devil gets you to stumble when you come to church. You're looking at what everybody else is doing, and it is the truth. Yeah, oh, look at that. She's singing. She barely even knows Jesus. I saw her in the club last night. What? It may have been the truth, but what you doing in the club last night? So, the only way that we're going to live it out this year is we have to learn to listen to God. And the only way we learn to listen to God is that we have to learn how to meditate. And meditate means to not just hear the word, but to actually do it. To do it. And this is our first point. We're talking about doing the word. Meditate with your mouth.
Yeah.
It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. If we decided to do what the book said and stop talking about people, stop talking about places, stop talking. If you were speaking the word of the Lord, then this would be a better place.
Yeah.
Hello. He said, don't let this book, don't say anything that this book don't say. The book say, love your neighbor as yourself. Why are you putting your mouth on your neighbor? Why are you gossiping about your neighbor? This book of the law, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. That would change the conversation. Change a whole lot of conversations. We should be doing what Psalms 19:14 says. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Is what you say pleasing in God's sight? Is it pleasing in God's sight? Is it encouraging, or is it tearing stuff down? Is it encouraging the vision of this church, or is it breaking stuff down? Is it encouraging the leaders of this church, or are you breaking them down? Oh, the psalmist said that the words that come out of my mouth are affected by what I meditate on in my heart. See, if you don't meditate on the word of God, you won't have it in your heart, and anything will come out. Oh, you bang your fingers and clang it and clang. Because you haven't been meditating on the word of God. What's in you will come out of you. Hello? Ask your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, what's on the inside of you? Don't answer that. That's a loaded question. But we know what's supposed to be on the inside of our hearts, because it just can't come in our ears. It just can't come into my ears. You see, the preaching is the beginning of the word. It's not the end of the word. Because you have to go out and live the word. Live it out. Bethlehem. Amen, and praise the Lord. So we have to meditate with our mouths. Okay. And not only that, we have to meditate with what? With our memory. See, if you don't have the word on the inside of you, you don't have the memory of the word of God on the inside of you, you will not be able to do the word. So you have to have and memorize that word. You say, preacher, I don't have a good memory. I'm a man. I'm not a detailed person. But can you tell me who won the Sooner game? In 2005, the national championship game, and what the score was? Some probably would. The Sooner fans. The Sooner fans probably would. Whatever your heart is, you'll remember. You'll remember. If you have a heart for it, you'll remember. And it says to meditate on it day and night. What are you doing day and night? What are you doing day and night? He said, preacher, I got to work most of the day anyway. And that's the good thing about meditation is that you can be here and your mind can be somewhere else on the word of God. And you can meditate on the word of God. And you especially need to be meditating on it right when your boss is talking to you crazy. You need to be meditating on that word to bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's meditation. When they're saying or they're putting their mouth on you, you need to not be there. You need to be transformed by meditation and come out of the situation and get on the word of God. And live it out. And live it out. Say to your neighbor again, neighbor, call neighbor, live it out, because you just can't think about it. Oh Lord, okay, right now he's cursing me out. Okay, you say, bless those who curse me, and then you say, blank. You've got to live it out. Say it to your neighbor again, neighbor, oh neighbor, live it out. This is what James 1:22-5 says. Do not merely listen to the word, so and so deceive yourself.
Right.
See, you deceive yourself when you're just listening to the word. If this is all you're doing with it right here, right now, you deceive yourself, because you go out and forget everything about the word of God. Right. And what does it say? Do what it says. Right. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, do what it says. Goes on to say, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like.
All right.
But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continually do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. See, there's a blessing in meditation. There's a blessing in obedience to the word of God. That's how you get success, from meditation. Because if you do the word, you will be blessed. Say to your neighbor again, neighbor, oh neighbor, live it out. And you'll be blessed. And you will be blessed. If I was to ask anybody here today, is there anybody want to be blessed in 2010? Oh, all of us should raise our hands. Because I want to be blessed in 2010. But if the only way that I can be blessed in 2010 is that I have to mind. Hello?
All right. Yes, sir.
Meditate with your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you, the text says, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So that you will be careful to do everything that's written in the book of the Lord. Are you careful to do? Do you intently look in the word of God? That's what this whole year is about. A year with God. It's that we want to intently look into the word of God. We want to intently apply these different principles like meditation so that we can mind. Again, true Christian meditation is not only hearing the word, but doing the word. This is what 1 Samuel 15:22 says. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That was a pause, a question. Oh, some say, if I'm thinking it, I might as well go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Hello? No. Well, don't the Bible say, and it's a conversation with the devil you can have, and he tells you the truth. The Bible says, if I look at a woman and I lust after her, then I've lusted in my heart. So if I've already sinned, then I might as well go ahead and sleep with her. That's a conversation with the devil. He'll tell you some truth and then try to lead you astray. No! No, you don't do that.
That's right.
I want to tell you, say, well, go ahead and curse him out. The Lord will forgive you.
Oh, Lord.
And that's a conversation with the devil. He put some truth in it. That's why I said that I will not listen to the devil, even if he's telling me the truth. Because he's cunning and crafty.
Yeah.
And he'll hook you. He has his bait. His bait is the truth.
Yeah.
His faith is the truth. And many will say, well, I can always ask for forgiveness. I can always ask for forgiveness for what I've done or what I do or what I want to do. And the text says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is the answer to the question. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better mind. Especially if you want to be blessed. If you want to be blessed. Bethlehem, the devil really spoke to us a lot in 2009. And he told some truth about us. But he also had a lie linked in that you didn't see. So if we want to be everything that God wants us to be, and this church is a great church.
Amen.
This is a great church. A loving church. I was thinking about this as I was planning this series. I said, this is one of the great churches. Have good deacons, got a good pastor, have some good loving people. Some of y'all may see you listening to the devil. Don't have that conversation. Don't have that conversation. Didn't I tell you don't listen to the devil? Didn't I tell you that? You see how he sneaks in, how cunning he is? And then I say, Lord, you're doing such awesome things, national, international. And I said, Lord, for us to have such a good church, why do we have some problems? And then he told me, well, Adam and Eve was living in paradise. No problems in the world.
Right.
And have no problems living in paradise. Adam didn't have to work. Hello? Eve had it good. Living in paradise. The only problem was that cunning devil came in paradise and started speaking. And the problem was is that Eve started listening.
Oh, Lord.
That was the problem. Because, again, the devil would put some truth in it to lure you in. Hello? Just to lure you in. So this year we have to, as a church, have to determine that we will not listen to the devil. We're only going to listen to God. And one of the ways that I know that I'm listening to God is the statement is all the way true.
Yeah, right, all right.
The statement is all the way true. See, the man of God will never be perfect. There was not one perfect man of God in the Bible except who?
Jesus.
Hello? But the man of God is God's anointing. God's anointed. And the Bible says, touch not my anointing.
Yeah.
The deacons are the only other posts that are listed in the Bible. So they're in a place of anointing. Touch not my anointed.
My Lord.
Regardless of what you think about them, regardless of what the devil is telling you the truth about them, touch not God's anointing.
All right.
Hello? Some of your leaders have been chosen to lead the ministry. Touch not God's anointing. God can fight his own battles. All you need to do is lie.
Yeah. All right. That's right.
All you need to do is mine. And to make sure that God can bless you. Hello?
Yes,
am I here by myself?
Oh, yeah.
So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Oh, if Is obedience better than sacrifice? Yes, obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't listen to the devil.
All right. All right. Yes, sir.
Don't listen to the devil. Listen to God, and the only way you're going to have to do this is be able to meditate. Know the word. Know all of the word. Because the devil will give you half of the truth. Yeah, selective parts of the truth. And will get you stumbling. And the only way that we can have success in the last part of that, and I didn't want to focus that much on the success part, but the Bible says that you will be blessed. He used that word success, prosperous, and successful. That means, maybe if I mind, God will bless me with some money. Maybe if I mind, maybe God will bless me with the help that I so desperately seek. Maybe if I mind, God can go before me and make the rough places smooth. He can shatter the doors of bronze, cut through the iron bars, and give me the treasures hidden in secret places, that I may know that it was Him who called me by my name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, the pastor's preaching now. As a matter of fact, I'm hooping right now. If I could hoop, this would be the hoop part right here. I'm hooping right now. Oh, the piano player is playing, the organ is playing, and I'm up and I'm dancing and spinning around saying, I'm hooping now. You say, hoop on. Imagine all, preacher. But all eyes closed and heads bowed. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Jesus Christ, the only way that He could endure the cross that was set before Him and resist the temptation of the devil is that He had to meditate for success. When He was in that garden, the devil tried to speak to Him and say, you might as well give up. Ain't nobody praying with you. Don't nobody care about your ministry. You touched and you've healed a lot of people. Isn't that enough? But Jesus was born to die for our sins. And He had to rebuke that devil in the garden through prayer and meditation. And He had to come out of that garden and He had to give His life. He was convicted for crimes that He didn't commit. He said, crucify Him! Put a crown of thorns on His head after they beat Him, and put the cross on His back and led Him through the streets of Jerusalem. He carried that cross and wasn't strong enough to carry it all the way, but He got to that hill called Golgotha, and they laid that cross down and they nailed Him to the cross. Raised Him up between two thieves, as if to say that He was the chiefest of sinners. He was on that cross. He had to meditate or memorize the joy that was set before Him. On that cross, He had to experience something that He had never experienced, which was separation from God. God separating Himself. Even after all of the pain, all of the sorrow, He had to give up the ghost because the devil couldn't take it. He gave up the ghost. They took His body off the cross, laid Him in a borrowed tomb. I can imagine that Jesus was meditating on the third day. For the first day came, the second day came, and the Bible tells us that on the third day, that Jesus got up with all power in his hands. That is the gospel story, the gospel truth. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Deacons, will you come? All eyes are closed, heads are bowed, saints are praying. And if you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then right now today you can get right with God. Don't listen to what the devil is saying. The devil is saying, don't get up there. Everybody's going to be looking. Everybody's going to be watching. Don't listen to the devil. Even though he's telling you the truth, oh, people will see you, but you still need to come. Give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know him, you can confess him. Confess your sins unto him. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised on the third day. Then right now you can be saved. There's somebody else here today. Oh, you prayed that prayer, but you were not baptized. Baptism is the first step of obedience. The devil said, but everybody's going to look. That's true.
Truth.
But the truth is this is the first step of obedience. The first thing that God requires of you, that you need to live it out. Live it out. Somebody here today, oh, you don't have a church home and you can feel the Lord leading you to join, but the devil is saying, everybody's watching, they're going to look, they're going to see, oh, and he's saying, oh, you don't need to be a part of a church home, you can be a Christian all by yourself. Don't listen to the devil, even though he's telling you part of the truth. The truth is, God's church is the anointed institution for this season and this time.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. And his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of a living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love and believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. You must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise.
Hello again, this is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.